everyone, and happy pre-holidays. Welcome to the last week of the Damage Report here in 2020. Good riddance, worst year ever. And welcome 2021, which I'm sure will be great. Anyway, I thought let's close out the year starting with a fantastic day. And so we are very lucky to be joined by one of the best people around, Francesca Fiorentini.
Hey, here we still are.
Right before we went live, Francesca and I were talking about the fact that after the show today, we're gonna be recording our first top 10 list, which is gonna be available to our YouTube tier 2 and tier 3 members. And we're gonna be doing our top 10 garbage people of the year. And Francesca asked a great question, which is, are you gonna get all of your guests to give their top 5? Which is a great point. I might try to get it going on Twitter, having people list their 5 garbage people of the year. But the honor just goes to Francesca this year.
Oh,
and so
I'm
very excited to see.
Because I was gonna calibrate. I was very much gonna calibrate. I was like, what can I bring? What about all the comics that have been canceled? Like, let's go that route, you know?
Oh.
But now I can
it's
just
up to
be
you.
Broad. Okay.
Yeah, it's totally up to you. I'm very curious to see how our lists are different. So anyway, for our tier 2 and tier 3 members, that video will be going up on the YouTube channel later on today. But before that, we have got a full hour plus of news. There is so much to talk about. Thank you to everybody who is already joining us. Feel free to like the stream and share the stream so that people know that we're live. And as we go along, if you'd like to send us messages or tweets or super chats or anything like that, we'll respond as best we can between our stories. But that said, Francesca, why don't we launch this first one, which is a doozy. We've sort of just been waiting for Donald Trump to announce martial law, and it turns out that we're getting closer every day with some of his aides having to stop him from pulling the trigger, literally, on that. Now we've got this meeting that happened over the weekend that apparently involved all of the worst people in the country yelling at each other, which is fun. And apparently, senior Trump administration officials are coming out of that meeting increasingly alarmed that President Trump might unleash and abuse the power of government in an effort to overturn the clear result of the election. Now, there are multiple forms that could come in, but they basically all drive from the fact that these officials apparently told Jonathan Swan that Trump is spending too much time with people they consider crackpots or conspiracy theorists and flirting with blatant abuses of power. And before we get into the specifics of what Trump is considering doing, can I just say that if you're a like senior Trump administration official and you're only now worried about the fact that he's spending time with crackpots and conspiracy theorists and flirting with blatant abuses of power, did you just come out of like a coma like a week ago? That is pretty much not only his whole thing, but also very much why he's as popular as he is. Like the right loves that stuff. Now you're worried about it?
This is like Maggie Haberman, please give my book a good review when it eventually comes out. Cause as a former Trump top official, I will definitely have one. And I'll claim that no, I didn't know that this entire candidacy and fandom was based on crackpot theories, mostly about immigrants and people of color and Democrats and women and the disabled. Cool. That's ridiculous. But hey, good for you. It's just smallest little medal, just the of award for calling this a crackpot idea to remain in office. You gonna give us more context, John, or shall I go off now?
Yeah, let's get an idea of what he's actually considering doing, what he's pushing for. So let's see. Their fears include Trump's interest in former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's wild talk of martial law, which we're gonna get a little bit more in depth later on with the video. An idea floated of an executive order to commandeer voting machines, and the specter of Sidney Powell, the conspiracy spewing election lawyer, obtaining governmental power and a top level security clearance. So before we get into it, let's acknowledge that Trump says that this isn't true, tweeting martial law equals fake news, just more knowingly bad reporting. Okay, I get that you think it's fake news, but multiple sources who are in the room at the meeting say that you guys are talking about it. And we're literally gonna play a video of Michael Flynn calling for it later on. So once again, fake news just means I would prefer you to not be talking about this right now. I still want to do it. Like, we'll circle back to the idea, but not right now, please.
Everyone can hear you when you say it out loud. So please don't say it out loud or in print. I hear that is also a form of communication, the written word. I don't deal with it myself, but I've been told people glean things from the written word. So shh. Yeah, so I mean, first of all, Sidney Powell getting a top security clearance. Mm-hmm. Let this happen, people, because we are gonna get the alien files tomorrow and she'll be like, I am one. I have come to Earth to unveil my true form. And she takes off her mask, except it's just her, Sidney Powell, and you're like, that checks out.
Yeah, I definitely have more to say about Sidney Powell. We'll have a little bit more specifically on what she might do, but let's start with the martial law. Because I guess one of the most long shot of all the different long shots that have been discussed over the past 6 weeks or so is that he's just going to take over, dispatch the military and all of that. It really does seem like a long shot. The military said as of like last Friday, no, we're not getting involved, which they've said before. And it does seem very unlikely. But the idea that that someone would propose martial law and that he would keep that person in the room, that seems pretty threatening by itself. I think that, you know, calling for the end to our republic, that should get you shuffled out of the room. I think you've got a lot of aides. You don't necessarily keep the ones that are advocating for martial law, but he doesn't see it as a deal breaker.
Yeah, and it's funny, the one who's advocating martial law is a foreign agent, was convicted of being a foreign agent, has been in the same room discussing plans with this president as a foreign agent. So yeah. That's not good, doesn't bode well. But yeah, hey, have him back, pardon him, and he's back in the room, baby.
Exactly. And you know, we didn't play this video on Friday, but let's go to the video of Michael Flynn. We're gonna jump ahead one video. We'll return to the bar. But for Michael Flynn, here he is on Newsmax, very explicitly calling for martial law.
Also ordered, he could order within the swing states, if he wanted to, he could take military capabilities and he could place them in those states and basically rerun an election in each of those states. I mean, it's not unprecedented. I mean, these people out there talking about martial law, it's like it's something that we've never done. We've done, martial law has been instituted 64 times, Greg. So I'm not calling for that. We have a constitutional process. We clearly have a constitutional process. I think you highlighted some of that in your previous segment. That has to be followed.
We have a constitutional process for elections and we did it and you guys lost and you just don't like that. That's really, it's only as complex as that. You guys don't like it and so now you're talking about the fact that, you know what, let's just dispense with the whole thing. We thought that we had voter suppressed and gerrymandered and all of that so much that we could still win even though nobody likes us. But now it turns out that our unpopularity is rising faster than the suppression of the American voters. So let's just be done with the whole thing. Let's just seize the machines. Let's redo the elections with the military stationed throughout swing states. That's what they're calling for. And that guy, after that video, was brought into the Oval Office to talk to Trump about what his options are.
But that's not unprecedented, John. I mean, how many presidents have seized the voting machines in swing states and rerun elections?
64.
Ugh, it's like so hack at this point.
Yeah.
Like, and now, insane. Like, I'm sorry. Like, to even just say that, like, even what's his dude? Chuck's name? I don't know. Newsmax? Is it Mr. Max?
I think
is
it
that
was
what?
Greg something.
Okay.
I don't know. It doesn't matter, but I'm sure he has a million Twitter followers.
Even his little dumb face was just like, like, what? Really? Is that what you can do? It's incredibly scary. And I had another thought, but I want to forget that this even happened.
Yeah, ergo, that would be nice. I'm not going to let you, but that would be nice. Now, in terms of the seizing machines, which is a thing that has been popping up a lot. So you had Michael Flynn there saying that the machines should be seized. Sidney Powell's interested. Rudy Giuliani's talking about it. Again, I have no idea what the purpose of that would be. I assume the news being that they'd been seized would be enough to, you know, I was going to go really dirty there, but it would satisfy right wingers for the time being, knowing that something was being done. I'll say that.
Go dirty.
Apparently, it's unlikely to happen, both because it's crazy, but also because even Barr, who spoke this morning, had this to say.
I see no basis now for seizing machines by the federal government. You know, a wholesale seizure of machines by the federal government. And I, you know, off the top of my head, I'm not going to opine on a constitutional issue as far as the pardon power goes.
Okay, so you had a little bonus there was thrown in where he was asked if Trump could pardon himself, and he didn't want to opine on that because, again, he wants to leave the Trump administration with enough plausible deniability about him checking the worst excesses of Trump that he'll be able to like go on the media and stuff like that. And already the response to that video I just played you is like, look at how reasonable he's being. But he also believes that Trump should be able to pardon himself, and he was one of the main goons helping Trump to accomplish all of his goals. So it looks like at least at this point, the DOJ isn't going to be seizing the voting machines. But remember, Barr is about to be booted out, and his replacement is already about to be pre-booted out to be replaced by someone even more toady-ish than him. And so you might end up with someone as the head of the DOJ who would be willing to seize the machines, just not today.
Oh, William Barr. Yeah, I love how you can hear like him dredge up the only moral fiber he has in his body to say that. Like, I don't see a reason to declare martial law. You know, like that was the last, that's all he got. Now he's out. Now he's gonna go lobby for a weapons manufacturer or be their attorney or whatever he's going to do, represent a bunch of war criminals in the future. It's a really bright future for Bill Barr. But yeah, it's always unclear because we're like, I don't think it's gonna happen, but it might happen, but it might not happen, but it might happen. And all it takes is like Powell and Stephen Miller and Giuliani to be like, let's do it. And then they're just gonna flip over the couches in the Oval Office and sit behind them. And then, you know,
like a fort,
like a blanket fort. And then Kamala's gonna have to be like, guys, you know, or like it's just someone. Or maybe just the staff of the White House gonna be like, see, cause we gotta, you know, checkout was by 10 and we gotta, because of COVID, we have to really sterilize this place. And they're like, oh, okay.
I say just, they're planning to bleach the whole thing. Just don't even warn them. Just let them be in there for it. Anyway, okay, so let's turn now to Sidney Powell. Hey, you remember Sidney Powell? You remember stories like this not long ago? Trump campaign legal team distanced itself from Sidney Powell. Like that was her next to Giuliani, which was like 2 days before that. But they wanted to make sure that you know, as of, let's see, that's late November, that they were distancing themselves. She was too crazy for Rudy Giuliani. And Jenna Ellis put out a statement saying Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She's not a member of the Trump legal team. She's also not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity, which look, admittedly was confusing at the time because she was just a couple days off of attending a Trump press conference about the legal effort while pursuing multiple challenges to the election. So the idea, and Trump was retweeting her and she was being on Fox News. The idea that she was independent then was a little bit weird, but don't worry, they distanced themselves. And now Trump, as of just 3 days ago, is discussing naming her, who has a lawyer for his campaign team, unleashed conspiracy theories about a Kraken and a Venezuelan plot to rig voting machines in the US, to be a special counsel overseeing an investigation of voter fraud, according to two different sources who are briefed on the discussion. So the distance is a little bit less distancy. Now she might be a special counsel, not like a real special counsel, but like someone that he just calls the special counsel and says that because of her security clearance, she can get secret information. The whole thing's a gigantic mess.
There's a badge. Okay, there's a badge. They're having them made right now. Or maybe they're just like cutting one out of an Amazon box that came, you know, but there's gonna be a badge. It'll say special on it. Maybe there'll be a hat that just says special on it. That's what I hope. And then everyone will know Sidney coming, you know?
So anyway, what's kind of funny about this is apparently Of all of the crazies in this big meeting over the weekend, and there were a lot of crazies, she was like the most divisive one. And a lot of the White House people were really opposed to her. Supposedly her ideas like seizing the machines and all of that were shot down by every other Trump advisor present, all of whom repeatedly pointed out that she had yet to back up her claims with proof. At one point, one person briefed on the meeting said she produced several affidavits, but upon inspection, they were all signed by a man she had previously used as an expert witness whose credentials have been called into question, but that's not gonna stop her. I love that they were willing to say she had proved any of this stuff in front of Trump. That's at least a little bit risky. But they really do believe at this point that all you need to do is get enough self-interested, biased people to sign affidavits. And if you get a pile of that you win any court case. Like if you just get enough crazy MAGA heads to sign pieces of paper, then you're good. Even if it turns out that they had legal troubles, they were child molesters, they were whatever they were, it's useful in the moment.
But what's scary about this whole thing, I was just gonna say just really quickly, like what's been scary from the beginning, and I think even the Supreme Court throughout this entire administration, it's always been like, oh no, we're down to like sign off on a ban on Muslim majority countries, and we're down to lock children in cages. We're down for you to try and, you know, allege voter fraud, but like do it better. You know, like fool us better and we'll go along with that. But like don't have the same guy sign the same affidavit, you know, Sydney. Yeah. Find different people and find people months ago who then, you know, can plant something, find some vote, you know, voting ballots in a ditch, but like, you know, like be actually a good villain. Don't be a crap villain. You're being a crap villain, but if you're a good villain, hey, the Republicans, I mean, they're already willing to go along with you, but they will help you literally steal it.
Okay, so as of right now, how likely do you think martial law, her becoming a special counsel, the voting machines being seized, those three possibilities coming out of this, how likely do you think any of them are?
I don't think they're gonna seize voting machines. Maybe they'll get one, but I would say there's a 35% chance that will happen. I don't think it's small.
That
there will be martial law, that he will try to declare martial law and not leave. But again, they're gonna have to pull something out quick because they need at least like a, I don't like this term, but like a false flag. Like they need something fake to go off of, but they don't have that yet. Everything they, you know, everything's turned up empty handed, but I still think there's a chance he's gonna try. I think there's a chance he'll try.
Well, we've got January 6th. You know, so we've got the Georgia primaries. That's an event. We've got the official congressional like final certification of the results, which
the filibuster.
They're going to have. Yeah, exactly. They're going to have their filibuster, so that's an opportunity. And we have people, you know, on the ground trying to instigate stuff. Like literally, as we were prepping to go today with the show, I see this report about 300 like far right Proud Boys and Boogaloos and all that stuff trying to like storm the Oregon state legislature or something like that because of a secret session of something or other. I don't know. So that's gonna end well. Whatever comes after that's gonna be great. And God only knows, I'm not following Twitter right now. God only knows what is going on right now to try to justify all the insane stuff that they still wanna do. And like we've said 100 times between the election and now, it's almost certainly not going to work, but it still could. And it's incredibly dangerous. And so we need to take it seriously. We can't just, you know, laugh it away.
And hold the people accountable who continue to spout these lies. I mean,
yeah,
you know, people's lives have been endangered. Random dude in Texas performs a citizen's arrest of an air conditioner repairman because he thought he saw fake ballots being loaded into the back of the truck. No, it's an air conditioner, homie, but that's cool. Please frighten the hell out of a random citizen. The police searched his home. Like this is the level of insanity. This is the level, this is where we're at. And I mean, the whole thing, I can't just pick five garbage people later on, John. It's gonna be very difficult.
Yes.
Very hard.
Yeah, and I will just say based on your comment, if there's any country that should not have citizens arrest, it's America for many reasons that probably don't need to be stated. No, we cannot be trusted on that. I don't trust the cops either, but I don't trust us. I don't trust anyone, basically.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
We re-enter the new week apparently with an aid package that supposedly is actually going to be passed. That's what everybody seems to think anyway. Democratic and Republican leaders announced just yesterday that they've arrived at an agreement on a roughly $900 billion plan. The House of Representatives will vote on the bill today, according to House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer. The legislation includes much needed coronavirus relief, including a weekly $300 enhancement in unemployment insurance, a new round of $600 stimulus checks, and renewed support for small businesses. What it doesn't have is things like state and local aid, which is described here by Vox as contentious, which I guess is technically true, but only because Republicans hate it. It's weird how something can be contentious if one group is completely unreasonable. But anyway, as well as liability protections for businesses, those have been taken away. And the effort to sort of lock the Fed into not assisting later on this year under Biden also has been punted, at least for now. So, Francesca, we've got a bill. After all the back and forths across multiple months and countless tens of thousands of people dying, what do you think of it?
I need a Vox explainer video for this. Where are my explainer videos? I used to do them all the time, and now I'm like, you know, I miss the younger me that would just do explainer videos about this. But it's like, you know, it's hard to know. You know, it's like having a bowl of very mediocre soup that you know has a pube in it. You know what I mean? You're like, I'm gonna eat this soup, but I know there's a few pubes swimming around here. But I'm really hungry. No, because you're hungry, but you know there's a little bit of a, you know, like a doo-doo nugget hidden somewhere away in this stimulus.
The soup is getting worse.
I'm just saying, like, this is what it is. It's like you have to eat it. People are hungry. We need actual more direct payments. We need extended unemployment benefits. But what's in it? What's in it that's bad for everybody? It seems like they might have been able to prevent some of the worst things. Like if they didn't include the provisions for immunity for corporations and limited liability for any corporations, that's amazing. Because as we know, corporations have been sending their employees back to work with COVID. They have been putting them at risk, right? And I think we need, there's gonna be a new day In terms of labor protections and all this, and also the fight for things like paid sick leave and really expanding workers' rights. I mean, we can't spend this long talking about how essential they are and not really have this moment give birth to a new and much deserved labor movement, which I hope it does. So there's that. I mean, there's something good that it wasn't the worst. Obviously, $600 direct payment and an extended $300 unemployment is not enough. I know there's an extension in a moratorium on evictions, which is good. I know that there's also money for education in there, which is good. None of it is all that radical, and by radical I mean transformative and or helpful, but it's something.
Yeah, radical in this context means what it almost always does, which is the bare minimum to meet the challenge. And also impossible at the same time. It's the only thing that would actually meet the challenge. And oh, you're crazy pants for talking about it. Yeah. By the way, coming out of this, if I ever am lucky enough to be invited to dinner at your house, going to avoid the soup course because you make too many compromises on your soup. I'm worried, like, What could drop in the soup for you to remake it? I don't know at this point. But anyway, what is dropped into the soup of this stimulus package is those aid checks of $600. Those will be going to people who make less than $75,000 a year. The unemployment aid is going to go through until March 14th. $325 billion has been repurposed from the PPP for small businesses. So again, remember that when they throw out these dollar values, this is not all new money. So yeah, it's smaller even than it seems. And bear in mind that this small business aid, which apparently they've been sitting on hundreds of billions of dollars, is going to finally be repurposed and hopefully given out after 100,000 small businesses have already closed. We've got $25 billion in rental assistance. Advocates for those who are about to be evicted say you need about $100 billion. So I guess we're 1/4 in a good spot. And the $600 checks, it exists simultaneously at a place where it is obviously not good enough. And also, we only have it because thankfully we have some good progressives in office. You had people like Bernie Sanders and Ro Khanna and AOC and other members of the squad who are actually there fighting for us. And thank God that they are. If the Progressive Caucus hadn't said they're not gonna vote for this, if it didn't include the survival checks and all that, we wouldn't even have the paltry kind of offensive and insulting level of checks that we do.
That's really important to remember. You know, I think that there's been a lot of pile on of the squad recently for other reasons, but the fact is that this has been the main issue for Congress. This has been the main issue for Democrats. Now, why the speaker is not a better leader, why she wrongly said that and held out on a better package offered by Steve Mnuchin before the election and held out, that we still don't know. That there's still not a good answer for, right? Absolutely. I mean, a week ago when we were looking at no stimulus, direct stimulus checks, or no direct payments, and now you've got $600. You know, I gotta be honest with you, John. Like, I'm glad there's direct payments. I'm still not happy that Donald Trump's name is gonna be on them. Like, that feels incredibly scary to me still, because we know that it gave him a boost in the election, and it gave, I mean, it means a lot when you see someone's name on there, you know?
Yeah.
Every time I see like my grandma's name on the $20, you know, check, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't cash this, but I will. You know, but you see the little handwriting, still trying to eke out a little signature. But no, so anyway, there's part of me that's like, why would we even give this to him right now?
Yeah, and I'm sure that they want to get it out, and they're saying it's coming soon. They're going to try to get it out before the election. I think that that's going to be very difficult, but it's obviously that the election is on their mind and wanting to do this. But look, what I want is our elected representatives to be responsive to what people actually want. If the only time that that can happen is in the week before an election, I guess that's one percentage point of the way there. And his name being on the checks would be ridiculous, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, overall, I will say, frustrated about the level of the checks, and you pointed out Nancy Pelosi. Let's bear in mind that we could have had a significantly larger package, supposedly in the run up to the general election, but she didn't think that we should do that then. She was sort of holding out either to damage the Republicans during the election or because she actually believed that they could get something bigger afterward. But either way, she was wrong, and now we're getting something much smaller, which is why hearing her talk about the bill that they're gonna pass sort of really bothers me. So here's a little bit of her talking about the agreement that they've come to.
We also have in the legislation direct payments, which were not in the Republican bill, to America's working families. I would like them been bigger, but they are significant and they will be going out soon.
Okay, so the thing is, when she is there saying, I would have liked them to be bigger, first of all, you could have had them be bigger. So that's important context. But also, in terms of her saying they're significant, okay, I will accept the evaluation of how significant they are from people for whom they will be a significant boost to their standard of living, their ability to survive. But Nancy Pelosi, who I just looked it up and is worth somewhere around $114 million,
Jesus,
they're not significant for her. They don't matter to her, and that's true for a lot of our elected representatives, but she is in charge, so just bear that in mind.
Look, I'm not saying that $600 doesn't mean something to people, but also like you gotta be that disconnected from the cost of living when you think that $600 is going to mean a lot to many people. It'll mean something to some people, but it won't mean a lot to most people. Okay, you like, when is the last time she's bought like lunch by herself? You know, like that. She's so disconnected from reality, and $114 million is so awful. And like, how, where is the justification scientifically in any of this? We are worse off than we were when we got a $1,200 direct payment, right? Now it's 10 months later, going, you know, going to be a year later. We're worse off. The spikes are insane. Worse than they've ever, 3,000 deaths a day. So it's hard to know, you know, there's so much coming at us and it's hard to know what's next. I'm excited for the next fight ahead. But man, we have to do a big old U-turn in this country when it comes to where we put our money. Otherwise, you bet there's gonna be revolution. Like, you bet. And like, I'm not an accelerationist. I don't believe that that's good. I don't believe that, like, you know, people taking, you know, taking drastic measures is a good thing. And I definitely don't think that, like, hey, if we elect right wingers and they do less, then people will, you know, take to the streets and do more. We haven't really seen that much of it this year, other than the rightfully justified protests against how many centuries of racism and police brutality. But so I'm not an accelerationist, but I'm like, man, these Democrats are really, really testing the patience of their voters, you know? Yeah. And I know the election wasn't close, but they've lost House seats and they might not take the Senate. So I hope they're still running scared, is what I'm saying. And I think we need to make sure they are.
And they could lose the House in 2 years.
Absolutely.
Especially with Nancy Pelosi as their leader.
Absolutely.
So we'll see. Anyway, just to put in a little bit more context, this $900 piece of legislation, which again isn't really $900 billion since it includes hundreds of billions of dollars that had already been passed. But anyway, is less than the $2.2 trillion proposal House Democrats had put forth quite a while ago. It's much less than the $1.8 trillion proposal that hypothetically Nancy Pelosi could have had but turned down, but much higher than the $550 billion bill that Senate Republicans had favored, which didn't include checks or unemployment insurance. It was literally just money being given to corporations, which you have to give them at least a little bit of credit, a little bit of props. They usually will do all this stuff to get tax cuts for businesses passed. This is much more direct. Just give them the money directly all the time. Uh-huh. So that's what they wanted. What the people want is quite different. Most recent polling on this shows that 93% of Democrats, 83% of Republicans, and 87% of likely independent and third party voters would support the distribution of another one-time payment of $1,200 to most Americans. Only 9% of likely voters are opposed to $1,200 direct payments. Almost everyone in the country supports this. And so, of course, we got just half of it.
I mean, yeah, I will. I just want to say one other thing. Like, first of course, we support $1,200 direct payments. We should support a lot more than that. But I want an audit. I want an audit of those PPP loans. We know they went to Trump cronies. We know they went to people that Jared Kushner rents out apartments, has sold apartments to, who are job creators, who on the record like have saved one job, which was probably their own, right? And so, yeah, it's like, well, I am a homemaker, okay? I'm an interior designer, whatever, that's fine. You can be a homemaker, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that like, there needs to be a very thorough audit and some accountability for that $2 trillion, which effectively absolutely went to the top 1%.
Yeah.
I wanna see that, I wanna see receipts.
Yeah, and a way, like effectively it's about as big as the tax cuts. And we know that was obviously biased. This is obviously more biased and far more direct. They got it so quickly. Like there's a lot that we gotta be forward looking on when Biden takes over, but there's a lot that deserves quite a bit of scrutiny.
Sure.
And not just stuff that's directly about Trump's criminal acts. That's certainly a part of it, but the Republican led Senate got away with quite a bit as well. Leftist Pagan says on Twitch, who the hell thinks $600 is significant? That's not even half my rent. JFC, $600 will mean that I can eat and renew my car registration next month so I can still drive myself to work. Yeah, it'll help, but I mean, really rough for the, oh, I see Eddie O'Donnell's about to be discharged. Very good news over in the Twitch chat. I'm glad I have it up live. Yeah, it's good news I guess. But man, it's like, imagine the worst domestic crisis ever. We're gonna lose hundreds of thousands of people. We are way into the thick of the really bad predictions from day one. Everybody seems to forget that. But yeah, 3,000, 3,400 people a day. They're gonna give us a $1,200 check. And then if everybody waits like a year, you'll get 600. And that's the best, the wealthiest, strongest, best number one nation in the history of the world can actually do.
No, they've let us die. I mean, this is the hard reality, is any government that has allowed this many people to die in a pandemic, what does it say about how they care about their people? What does it say about the country? What does it say about how much power the people have? And that doesn't mean we get, you know, cynical and resigned, but it means we get angry and we get active. And I think that they have to remember who they work for. We need better legislators on throughout the board, whether it's, you know, your city council, whether it's state representatives. So whether it's our governors, you know, who are, you know, like bandying about going to a French Laundry and pretending like they're our daddy, i.e. Cuomo. You know, meanwhile, Cuomo stands against Medicare for All in New York State. So there's a lot we have to do, and it's hard because we're in the moral right, obviously. And so it's hard to say, well, we're in the moral right. Why can't these politicians get on board with what the majority wants? And they won't. They won't, because that's not their interest. And we need to get them the hell out.
Yeah, we need more power, actual power, and simply like. We often remind people that like the voters agree with us on the policies, which is great. It would be greater in a democracy, a true democracy, where that actually mattered. But that doesn't directly matter, which means we need the seats. We need to keep the ones that we have that are good, and we need more of them. That's what we need. Right now, we're all experiencing this like, oh yeah, we lost, and that's really sinking in, but we did, and we need to stop losing.
Yeah.
The solution to losing is winning. That's what we need. Anyway, over on Twitch, thank you to Progressive NCO for gifting subs. I believe Progressive NCO is my new enemy. If I remember, it looks like there was a name change there. Don't try to change your name. I remember you. You're my enemy. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to unfortunate news. Over in the UK, they've apparently had to institute a new lockdown in parts of the country. Why? Because COVID wasn't bad enough, we're now experiencing the possible spread of a new, more transmissible, more contagious version of COVID. So British Prime Minister Boris Johnson just this weekend implemented strict lockdowns in London and large parts of southern England in response to rising coronavirus infections. He said the growth in cases appear to be stemming from a new variant of the coronavirus that is about 70% more transmissible than existing strains. And just bear in mind, if you just woke up from a long rest, the thing about COVID is how transmissible it is. It's really easy to get it from somebody that has it. This is that, but worse. And so these new measures, which take effect on Sunday, so just yesterday, are designed in effect to cut off the capital and its surrounding counties from the rest of England. They're the most severe measures the British government has taken since it imposed a lockdown on the country way back in March, and reflect a fear that the new variant could supercharge the transmission of the virus as winter takes hold. Now, viral mutations in general are not uncommon, and we've been talking about the possibility from the very beginning of the pandemic. This variant has apparently been detected in a handful of other countries, although the British officials didn't say which, meaning possibly the US. But the government's medical experts expressed alarm about the apparent infectiousness, noting that it now accounts for more than 60% of the new infections reported in London. So this is what we need to close out the year. I mean, we just got that good news about the vaccine. So sure, why not a far worse, like COVID with rabies form of the disease, Francesca?
Give me rabies, dude. I just want, give me the rabes. I'll take it. I need rabies now. I think you can get over rabies more easily than you can get over COVID. I don't know that. Do not fact. Don't Wikipedia it. Woody.
Rabies is still bad. Rabies is still bad. But
look, they both come from bats. I say, let's get rid of the bats, go to war on bats. And then we could put little helmets on the bats too, so they have a fighting chance. It'll be real cute. I don't know what to do with this news, John. This is depressing.
I don't know. This I know. What do you got to say?
Nothing. I just wanted to mess with you.
So when I see a development like this, I think, okay, what is it most important that the audience knows about this? Because we can't track everything about these developments. So for me, In terms of the context, it is, we've got the vaccine that is just now being transported around and it's giving people hope. Perhaps too much hope. People seem to be being really irresponsible, and I try to remind them that you're not gonna get the vaccine for like 2 to 6 months. So definitely slow your roll on not wearing your mask and everything, but it is coming out. And so now, more infectious version of this. So I think a lot of people might think, oh God, now this good news isn't worth anything. But I wanna just let you know that supposedly, according to, and take this with a grain of salt, a Dr. Scott Gottlieb, board member of Pfizer, says it doesn't seem to have mutated the surface proteins of the virus in a way that they would slip past our vaccines or prior immunity. In fact, we don't think that that's the case. So they're saying that if you already have been exposed, to whatever extent you get immunity, that should apply to the new version, and that the vaccine should protect against the new version. That said, this doctor is a board member of Pfizer. So will we know immediately? I don't know. We're gonna have to see if people who have gotten the vaccine get this newer strain at higher rates than they get regular COVID. Because again, remember, people who get the vaccine still can get COVID. It has a failure rate. So that is, I think, the most important chunk of news that everybody should get as we, you know, face this new faster spreading version of COVID.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's good news, I guess, a little bit. I don't know if I trust any of it. We know the flu shot every year has to be retooled and reworked. You know, I can't stress this enough, but like, we don't know, and we are in completely uncharted territory. What we do know is that we can personally stop the spread, and our government can also do that as well. We know we can test, we know we can trace, we know we can quarantine. Have I said this on the show before? Oh my God. We also know that we can stop travel from the UK. We, not just of UK nationals.
I've been calling for
that for years. Honestly, like, ugh. So have Native Americans for many, many, many years. But like, we can stop travel, and not just of, you know, UK nationals or whatever. That's like, you know, the xenophobic move that Trump did in for China. Like, oh yeah, we'll stop all the Chinese nationals. Smart, you idiot. So the point is, we still don't have the travel bans that we might need. And I hate the idea of not being able to get on a flight with 10 layers of face masks and protection, and not have to go to the bathroom for 6 hours. And then fear for my life once I've arrived at Big Ben. But maybe that's what's necessary. Like, and yet we haven't done that, right?
Yeah.
And so I want to say that we should really, there is a new normal. Let us all, you know, remember there is a new normal, and also lobby our government to really do the right thing and be prepared to comply when they do. None of this, like, oh, I don't know if I like, you know, my phone tracking me. Your phone tracks you all the time. Your phone tracks you all of the time, okay? Don't have a cell phone if you don't want to be tracked. Yeah, we need to do better. Yeah, we should rein in companies for sure. But your phone's already tracking you. Why not sign up for the COVID tracking as well? I think it's important.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because like the government itself doesn't seem interested in doing that at all. Like literally, when was the last time you heard the government talk about doing any sort of tracking? And I guess I sort of almost understand it. It's hard to really see like contact tracing to be useful in an environment where everybody has COVID and everybody's getting it from everybody. As you get the cases down lower, then contact tracing becomes more important, but they haven't stopped. If like you pursue that, or you pursue herd immunity as a strategy, which is the one that they're doing. So, okay. That said, let's turn to a slightly different but altogether unsurprising bit of news on COVID. So for about 1 week now, the Pfizer vaccine for COVID-19 has been available, not widely available, not available for me or for Francesca or probably for you, but more and more frontline healthcare workers are starting to get access to it. Some of the people most at risk, like the oldest population with pre-existing conditions, will soon have access to it. And that is really annoying to rich people who would love to have access to it right now. And they are apparently doing everything they can, which means spending money to try to get access to it. So there was a great article up on Yahoo News talking about some of the experiences of these doctors to the stars and doctors to wealthy people talking about it. Dr. Ehsan Ali, who runs Beverly Hills Concierge Doctor, gets hundreds of calls every single day, Assange said. His clients, who include Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber, pay between $2,000 and $10,000 a year for personalized care. Quote, this is the first time where I have not been able to get something for my patients. So supposedly for this doctor, they're trying to get it, but they can't. Okay, and that's mostly because in California, there's a very strict order of vaccinations. Healthcare workers and nursing home residents, because you know, those are the people getting sick and dying. Then essential workers and those with chronic health conditions. And only then pop stars, ideally. Dr. Jeff Toll, who has admitting privileges at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, one of the first hospitals to stock the vaccine, recalls a patient asking, if I donate $25,000 to Cedars, would that help me get in line? Toll said no. So here's the thing, this is happening. We sort of knew this would happen. The only thing about this article I have an issue with is the takeaway that the requests are not working, because I have a very hard time believing that that is true. I have a very hard time believing that Elon Musk gets on the phone and it ends with him not getting the vaccine. Maybe I'm a cynic, Francesca. What do you think?
No, I mean, that is how it ends. I mean, that is how initially this whole thing went off when people who were getting, you know, who had the money to pay for like N95s, you know, on eBay, going for $200 a pop or whatever it was, or like Lysol spray is going for that much. I mean, the markups have been insane. People who can, yes, they can pay to stay home. This is not Madonna's bubble bath, we are all equal moment. This is absolutely, you know, the black light into the crevices of our country, which reveal that we are highly unequal, and Bernie Sanders has been right this entire time. I hate this story. We covered it on the Bituation Room. I hate this story because I didn't really know that concierge boutique doctors were a thing, or and these liaisons, and that there's an entire market. Because let's not forget, the privatized medical system in this country is such that there are so many bottom feeders. There are so many leeches off of this system. Some of them are good leeches, unnecessary, meaning there are people who help folks get onto Medicaid and Medicare because they're so complicated, they're difficult. That is a job creator, that's a good one. But I would argue it's not a necessary job if your systems are so complicated, right? It shouldn't be a necessary job in an equal society for someone to pay to get access to the best healthcare, right? That's what they say, oh, the best healthcare in the world here. Yeah, if you're a millionaire, if you're Justin Bieber, who's Canadian, go home. Go home. You've got universal healthcare there. So listen, to everyone out there, just learn to sing good. Okay? Just learn to sing good. You know, just drink warm things, and my voice honey. Is very, yeah, just lots of honey. And then maybe you'll get healthcare one day and you'll get access to these things. So it is exposing how corrupt and how awful our entire privatized healthcare system is. And once again, audits. I wanna know who's doing concerts, who's out there, did they get the vaccine? Canceled, hashtag canceled.
Yeah, yeah, I almost wish, obviously this is like could never happen, but if there was like an online registry updated in real time of all the people's names who get it. Cause I wanna see when all these celebrities get it.
Yeah.
That are gonna be labeled as essential and all of that, because it's gonna happen. And obviously the rich are gonna do it. I mean, oh God. One of the things that's been bothering me is people in government have been getting vaccinated recently. And so some of it's good, you know, like AOC and the vaccine, good. I don't want her to get coronavirus. I like to see that. But I think for a lot of people, after the experience we've been through, and for our audience that we've gone through every day together, every update along the way, because we have been keeping laser focused on this whole thing, to see like Mitch McConnell get the vaccine or Marco Rubio or Mike Pence, you know, Scott Atlas is gonna get the vaccine before any of us. Like after all that they did and didn't do that produced this ever growing mountain of dead Americans, that they would get access to it before us, before our grandparents, it is so thoroughly, fundamentally, essentially insulting. And it was always gonna be this way, and I get it. They're politicians, so they're gonna get it because they're essential or whatever. And Tucker Carlson's gonna get it like tomorrow if he hasn't already, because he's in the media. But for all that they did, the idea that they would get protected first just seems so wrong on a level that just like it just creeps into your bone marrow.
Absolutely. Makes you want to puke. I mean, this is, it's the most 2020 thing ever, right? Spend months, Marco Rubio saying, oh, we focus on COVID too much. Yeah, no, that's the problem, is the media is just focusing on it too much, right? They get right to that edge of saying that it doesn't exist, but by basically saying it's not a big deal. Meanwhile, they're cashing in on PPP loans. Meanwhile, they're holding out on allowing people to stay home. We should have been paying people to stay home this entire time, like every other country in this world. Anyone who can afford it is doing that.
Yeah.
So absolutely, there is a special place in hell. My God, there's a special place in hell for these people. And I hope they get there. But looks like that's gonna be harder if they have the vaccine now. And I guess I'm just saying like rage. I think we need to call our senators, let them know it's not okay. Let them know that you see their little pale ass arms.
Yeah, look, I'm, you know, as hardcore an atheist as possible, but I'm down to believe in a lot of afterlives if it provides some consequences. But it hasn't, and they'll be fine. And you know, the politicians, almost every one of the politicians that stood like a shield wall between us and the aid that we need, virtually every one of them got reelected. The people in media who encouraged their fans to get sick and die, and get their loved ones sick and to die, are doing better. Tucker Carlson is gonna get a massive raise. He's being put in charge of like news across Fox News. Every one of the worst people who had the worst effect during the worst domestic political crisis of our lifetime is doing better coming out of it. The wealthy are making out like bandits, literally. And there's a lot less of us to change the system because of their actions, the entire thing. This has been some year, Jesus. I do hope that the wealthy get the vaccine though. They've worked hard for it, why shouldn't they? Anyway, okay, so with that, it looks like we're just about at the end of our time, but I do wanna remind everyone that we are now starting a new feature on Mondays. Francesca and I are gonna be doing top 10 lists, sometimes about politics, sometimes not. They're gonna be available to our tier 2 and tier 3 YouTube members. If you're interested in that, totally optional thing, you can go to our YouTube channel and click the join button to get details about those tiers. Today, we're gonna be closing out the year with our top 10 garbage people of 2020, which is like an impossible task because this year has been so full of garbage. But I've got Trashy here, and Trashy is ready to get a supersized meal of 10 of the worst people in groups currently operating across America. Oh, we've got a raid going on. I'm seeing from Lucid Fox and Lucid Fox's viewers. Thank you very much for raiding us. Really do appreciate that. I love to see people making connections on Twitch.
Raid.
So thank you for that. We've been raided.
Are we gonna do this every week, John? Because you did not ask me if I wanted to do top 10 lists.
I didn't. You don't have
you
to. You don't
thrust
have to.
This upon
we're
me.
We're gonna do it one day, me and someone. So I apologize. I know that you're so down, and also I couldn't conceive of a more fun experience than doing it with you each week. Aww. So that's why I tried to put it out there into the universe. But obviously it's up to you. You don't have to do it.
Okay. Well, I say fine. I'd love to.
Well, we'll see. We can revisit it each week. And if you're not available.
No. Now I want it. Now that I know it exists, I want it. You know, I'm like a child.
People are suggesting I could do it on Thursdays with Viviana. I could do that instead if you want. I could do it with her. That'd be fun too. Actually, that might be more. Did that work? It probably didn't work. Anyway.
It worked.
Okay, I'm gonna stop before you pull out entirely from the thing. But anyway, yeah, I'm trying to manifest more things in the universe, even though I don't believe in any of that. And I want to give you one piece of evidence that I have some sort of effect over causality in the universe. On SNL this Saturday, earlier in the pandemic, I had been hoping that my favorite sketch of all time would come back. And it's What's Up With That? It hadn't been on for literally years, and they did it during the pandemic. This Saturday, I was hoping that my favorite Weekend Update character, the most optimistic man in the world, Willie, would come back. Hasn't been on in years, and he was back on. Nice. I control things in a very limited SNL sort of area, okay? Anyway.
Who plays Willie again?
That's Keenan. He's in both. In both the What's Up With That and Willie is both.
King. I love What's Up With That.
Oh God, so good. Anyway, Willie's just great. I love it. Someone's giving me a phrasing alert on Twitch. I don't know what I said, and now I regret it. But anyway, okay, so we're gonna break for now, and then that top 10 list will be available on YouTube later on. But I do want to let you know that in 29 minutes, Jordan Yule is gonna be diving deep with Deep Dive. I've taglined it, news that gets you wet. So definitely enjoy that.
Yikes.
Hey, that'll be coming up a little bit later on. I don't know who his guest is. Maybe Brooke can let us know in the chat. And oh geez, there's been a lot of phrasing going on. Anyway, that should be a lot of fun. So definitely stay tuned for that. It'll be starting up really, really soon. Should be a lot of fun. But anyway, we're gonna go for now. Until next time, stay safe out there. Stay sane out there. I'll see you soon. The ongoing negotiations over what second form of stimulus we're gonna get from the government have been going on for 8 or 9 months, it seems like. And hey, look, today we might actually have something, but what's in it? What has been left out? Joining us now to help break it down is the senior healthcare reporter for Business Insider, Kimberly Leonard. Welcome to the Damage Report.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. So there have been many different forms of this package, some that include corporate liability shields, some that include checks at different levels or leave them out entirely. So with what's being voted on today, what form of stimulus can the American people expect?
Well, it is sort of in the middle between what Democrats wanted and what Republicans wanted. It's going to be $900 billion. It is going to include another round of checks to individuals, not as large as the first time, but about $600 per person is what to expect, including $600 per child if you're a family. And it will not include more controversial provisions, which would have shielded businesses, hospitals, schools from coronavirus related lawsuits. And it also doesn't include direct funding for states and local governments. That was something Democrats had really wanted, and Republicans were afraid that states would use the money to plug badly managed budgets. And it became a big argument. So Republicans said, okay, we'll put liability shields aside if you put state and local funding aside. And so those more controversial positions might be revisited early next year. Both sides say that they want to, but for now they're focusing on the parts they all agree on. Money for schools, money for testing and contact tracing, money to help hospitals that have budgets that are struggling. And so they were able to come together to get this done, and they hope to vote on it this evening. Mm-hmm.
So one aspect of it I want to focus on is the one that's going to most directly affect people watching this, probably is going to be the checks. And you know, we've had a lot of different numbers that have been thrown around. At one point, Mitch McConnell and Republicans were talking about $300. There were calls for another $1,200. There are people who are pushing for more than that. And we ended up with this $600. So what I'm curious about in your following of this developing story, the number they landed on, has it been tied to anything specific? Like, is it an evaluation of this will help a certain percentage of the population pay for their rent, for instance? Or is it just less than 900, but more than 300? Is it just a compromise that was put somewhere in the middle? Or is it actually tied to some specific metric of the aid that people need?
It doesn't seem to be tied to a specific metric, although recall the first time they were doing, when I say the first time, I mean during the CARES Act stimulus that they passed back in March, those were $1,200 checks to individuals and then another $500 if you had children. So $500 per child then that you had. So this is actually a little bit more than that per child. So they are definitely targeting that families get a little bit more than they would. But the general consensus was that these are popular with the public, that they want people to go out and spend, especially around the holidays. And instead of really working toward, okay, how do you target specific groups, they were really saying, well, we know that we want $900 billion to be the top line number. So what kind of adjustments do you make along the way? One of the other pieces of the bill that is lower than the last round that we got, what has to do with unemployment payments. Last time, if you'll recall, individuals got another $600 per week for unemployment on top of their payments. And that was a huge help to people. It encouraged them to stay at home at a time when we really didn't understand the virus well. And this time the payments will only be 300 per week, but it still for some people will mean that they get to take home more money than they did when they were working. And so that can be a good thing at a time when the virus is surging. We need people to stay at home. We need to reduce transmission. And so that was the agreement that they came upon, and a lot of it does have to do with how the puzzle pieces fit together in terms of getting the math done to that $900 billion.
So I'm assuming with the enhanced unemployment, that'll be effectively, there'll be no interruption, that it'll be a lesser check that you'll be getting. But if you're on unemployment before the switchover to getting it, there's no period where you're off or have to reapply, that it should be fairly smooth in that respect?
Well, we certainly hope so, because there were a lot of issues with getting the unemployment payments out the last time. The hope is that because, you know, we've had these programs now go through, that it'll be a lot smoother of a transition this time. You know, they want to be able to take people basically into the spring. This is not supposed to be a year-long economic stimulus. It really is just intended to last a few months to kind of keep the economy afloat, keep the healthcare system afloat. And they hope to revisit again next year. And at that point, if there's still really high unemployment numbers, this might have to be revisited again in terms of making sure people are getting those payments.
Yeah, I'm really curious about that. That is what I've been trying to figure out the most. And I recently got the opportunity to talk to Senator Sanders, and one of the questions I asked him was, is this basically our last chance? Because it's been close to a year since the first big piece of legislation. Why would we believe that there would be a quicker turnaround between the second and the third? But he thought that there would be. What I'm curious is based on the people that you've talked to, we're entering into a period that is going to be simultaneously both the worst in terms of number of infections per day and deaths per day, but also that every day brings us more and more people getting vaccinated. How much depends on the way that the Georgia primaries, or Georgia runoffs, I should say, end up going? You know, Biden is going to be inaugurated fairly soon. Is the chance of legislation coming up in the next few months going to be really dependent on control of the Senate in that respect?
Oh, absolutely. There's so much of President-elect Biden's agenda, not just the stimulus, but that'll be job number one as soon as he gets into office. But so many other parts of his agenda in terms of expanding access to healthcare, in terms of potentially increasing taxes, in terms of really his whole agenda and what he'll want to accomplish will hinge on whether Democrats can win the Senate in Georgia. And that seems to have also sort of helped to jumpstart a lot of the latest negotiations that we've seen on the stimulus. I don't know that they will pass another one if Republicans preside in Georgia. But McConnell, I know, wants to revisit the liability protection. So that does sort of leave an opening for something that Republicans really want to do. Democrats really want more money for state and local. But as I mentioned, this is just supposed to be short term, and we really can't be as effective as we want to be on the other pieces of this recovery unless they all sort of fit together. So it's not just about getting the vaccine out, but it's about, you know, funding programs to make sure that people trust the vaccine. It's about having enough funding to make sure that states can actually get the vaccine from A to B. So it all has to fit together. They have to make sure that there's not huge unemployment after this, and that, you know, the number of deaths and cases can really be brought down in order to, right now we're heading in the wrong direction. And so they have to bring it back down in order to get a handle on this thing.
So that bill, the current formulation of the stimulus bill, is going to be voted on at some point today, possibly before this video is even posted online. And obviously there's a lot online there, but then there's also the concerns about the possibility of a government shutdown. Where do we stand in terms of that and the likelihood that the government will receive funding and that the bill will actually pass?
Right. Well, most viewers probably know that typically a funding bill is passed, you know, in September in order to make sure that you're starting the new fiscal year ready to go and all the programs are funded so that there's no shutdown or interruption in government programs, whether it means funding national parks so that they can stay open, whether it means food safety, whether it means federal workers getting paychecks. All those are factors that get affected in the case of a government shutdown. And what we saw Congress do during the past 10 days or so is basically basically pass several short-term measures in order to keep the government funded while they deliberated on the stimulus. And they decided, okay, we'll do the government funding bill and we'll attach the stimulus to that. So it's all being passed as sort of one big package. They hope to do it all tonight. If there's any concern with that, they might have to pass some other kind of short-term bill. It does seem that they all want to, you know, get this done and go back to their districts for the holidays and wrap up their business for the year. But it is until everything is done and signed and until the president, you know, has put his signature on it, it is sort of this big unknown, leaving people in limbo. 2 million federal workers potentially affected in some way, even if they're not furloughed, meaning, you know, that they're not working at all, they still might have their paychecks affected. So keeping everything running and hopefully them getting this done this evening or maybe even in the early hours of tomorrow morning will keep everything running smoothly.
Mm-hmm. And if things don't go smoothly and we do have another government shutdown, because of course, you know, you don't have to go too far back in distant history to find shutdowns. America, for some reason, is like the only country that regularly has its government come to a screeching halt. This will be during this terrible crisis in terms of public health and a really bad economy. If this does shut down, is it going to look a lot like past shutdowns, or is it going to be more consequential in some way because of the pandemic that's ongoing?
Well, it would be so much worse because already we're living in this environment in the United States where so much has been shut down in order to try to stave off the virus. You know, we've had restaurants shut down, we've had you know, parks shut down, schools are still virtual. And so to think that we might have some sort of self-imposed shutdown can be really shocking. Everyone wants to avoid that scenario, it seems like. But until that's signed and done and bills have been passed, it's still up in the air. You know, we only just saw the text for the bill released about an hour ago. And so lawmakers now have to review everything that's in it. What if they come across something that they really don't like and then they end up holding it up because they want to argue over a piece of the bill or they want it changed before passage? So there is still a lot of unknowns. We don't, you know, sort of sit back until, you know, everything's done. But this is a really tight timeline and it's a really dangerous time to be doing this. You know, the last government shutdown was 34 days. The longer they last, the more harmful it is. And to think that there's a possibility that even more people might not have paychecks at a time when we have such high unemployment is really shocking. And you know, we need our government to be functioning and doing all of the services that it's doing because so much has ended and so much has been shut down in this COVID pandemic.
Well, hopefully things will go smoothly, but this is 2020. Why not have one little additional bit of chaos to end the year with? But in any event, Kimberly Leonard, Business Insider, thank you so much for joining us. Really do appreciate your reporting.
Thanks for having me.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the first of our YouTube member exclusive top 10 lists, which I am hoping are going to be a lot of fun, both for all of you watching, but also for us to make. The idea being that these are going to be sometimes, maybe usually about politics, but not always. And in the very near future, we're going to start asking all of you who are able to see these to suggest top 10 lists that you'd like to see me and our guest discuss. Today, we decided for the first of these, we are going to end the year the way we did with JR actually at the end of 2019, which is looking back at the biggest garbage people of the year. So I've got Trashy, and more importantly, I've got Francesca. How's it going, Francesca?
My eyes are not as beautiful as Trashy's.
No, Trashy's a special one. And Trashy's been eating all year, eating garbage. And we've got a top 10 garbage people of the year. So very excited about that. Thank you, by the way, for being members of tier 2 and tier 3 so that you have access to this. It is exclusive for you for now. That said, why don't we do these things? Would you like to be the ultimate number one garbage person of the year?
Not personally, you actually be me? The
person, no, to describe. In which case, I would start, or do you want to start?
It doesn't matter to me. But my question is, so we each get 5, right? And we'll do a countdown. So like least trash to most trash, you know, like
yes.
So banana peel.
Number five. Yeah, exactly. Right. Banana peel.
To dirty diaper.
Cat. Yeah, dirty diaper.
Dirty diaper. The dead cat is definitely probably the worst. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a obviously used condom. So banana peel.
Wait, are you saying obviously we should have a tier that's used condom or a condom that's obviously been used?
I think we should have an obvious. I don't know.
This has gone off the rails.
It's gone off the rails already. This is what you pay for, people.
So I'm gonna get us started with my number five, and that way you'll do your number five, and eventually your number one will be the last word in garbage in 2020. So my number five is going to be an individual that actually might have been most commonly my garbage person of the week. It is going to be the worst personality over at Fox News, Tucker Carlson. Here demonstrating the size of, well, I'll just put him in here. We don't need to complete that sentence. Trashy, enjoy the Fox News guy, the Swanson heir. And the reason I think he's been absolute garbage is because more than any other individual, I think he has been responsible for people being incredibly irresponsible when it comes to coronavirus. And it's not that others haven't tried. Laura Ingraham and Lou Dobbs and Sean Hannity are all bad, but I don't think that their followers were ever gonna take it seriously. Tucker Carlson, in the first couple of weeks, pretended that he would, still gets credit for it, even though he has spent every other one of the weeks encouraging people to not take this seriously. He has racked up so many dead in his wake, and he has only gotten more wealthy as a result of it. And for that, as well as he's already starting to speak out against vaccines, so that's fun. Ultimate garbage, number five for this year for me.
That's a good one. I wish I had a printout. I mean, I have a printer, so now I'm gonna have to start printing these out, but I'm excited. And I have to make a trashy over here.
I'll just make a trashy. I have extra eyes I can send you, actually. I have a box of them.
I'll just eat them. Please, I need those eyes. I'll be wearing them. God, this is hard. There's so many bad people. But I think, okay, this one I just have to do. It's a little bit out there. It's not in the usual politics sphere, but it really does represent what is an ongoing like lack of accountability for creepy men in all walks of life, in all areas of work. And one of those areas is comedy. And there are no labor protections. There's no HR in stand-up comedy. I am a comic, and you know what happens happens. And sadly, so much BS happens, and so much predation and predators and creeps. One of those creeps this year that we found out was Chris D'Elia, who is a massively popular comic, who I don't personally find very funny, but who has been just DMing 16-year-old girls and asking them if they wanted to make out with him. Like, that's so garbage. You are such trash. You 35 going on 40-year-old man. Date someone at least who is legal. Stop DMing people. Stop being such a whiny weirdo who you could just go to a bar, except don't go to a bar. But you know what I mean? Talk to anyone. You don't have to prey on 16-year-olds. And then he would travel to where they lived and do shows. And then it's just he would ask them for their pictures. It's just so gross. And so trash person, Chris D'Elia, trash person, every creepy, gropey comic and every creepy, gropey man in any field. And if you're listening and you're a woman or you're a man, you know who these people are. And yeah, never sleep, F the patriarchy.
Wow. Yeah, the only thing I actually know him for, the only reason I know who that is, well, is partially because of the stuff that he turned out to have done. But also, I did see him on You. And on You, he was a creepy guy that was preying on young girls. That's so weird that you would do that role. I mean, he was convincing. Anyway, okay, so for my number four, I'm gonna throw the first of a couple of groups in here. And I think you gotta give it to these people. They've really worked overtime to prove that they're garbage, and more on camera garbage than almost any other group. That would be the police. As some would say, F the police, actually, because they spent the better part of the year not only doing the normal amount of brutality and injustice and all of that, but then going to rallies against brutality and brutalizing people as if to prove the point for the protesters. And I'm gonna lump in with the cops a country that really hasn't been convinced enough of how bad it is, even though the evidence has been presented to them on video time and time and time and time again. But the cops, man, they've been bad for, I'm gonna say, hundreds of years. Yeah. But this was a particularly bad one for them.
Yeah, I mean, it was very much like, I think in the way, I don't wanna say this is the worst year for cops, because I think we're gonna see it in the future. But I think, you know, look, I'm glad that the police are scared. I'm glad, because we've been afraid of them for so long. So they absolutely should be scared that we are coming for their bloated budgets, and we are coming for their unchecked murder and their unaccountable behavior. We're coming. The people are coming. This is happening. So, like, that is why I feel like, I mean, first of all, A, they have way too many toys, but B, I think this has been a year where they're like, they see this as their last chance to, like, you know, get their rocks off by you know, killing and maiming and tear gassing and flash grenading and running people over. So it's like, you know, it's this, in the way that Trump is the last gasp of whiteness, you know, and like, I feel like, at least I hope, but
you know,
in that way, you know, white supremacy, you know, I think that the police are like having their day of like, oh, I'm so scared, I must defend my right to brutalize, you know. But that's a good group. I like that trash person.
Okay. In that it's bad. What's your number four?
Number four, and you should have the last word, so I'll do my number one first. But number four, I'm gonna go with John Kasich.
John Kasich.
Yes, John Kasich is my number four.
What did he do?
Because he represents, and he went, you know, he went on after Biden won the election, and even in the run up, he was like, we need to tack to the center. No more of this defund the police. We scare people. Nobody likes progressives. AOC is blamed for, you know, the fact that Democrats lost House seats. Kasich is a Republican who has wanted a position in the Biden administration. Who knows if he'll get one? Doesn't look likely, but he represents a kind of Republican that clearly does not exist anymore. It's the Romneys, it's the Kasichs, it's the we're moderate Republicans who spend more time hounding the Democrats for what they're not doing right than going after his own party that has been actively encouraging people to basically spread the coronavirus, who have been science deniers, climate deniers, like who've celebrated the police brutality. So Kasich to me deserves to be a trash person. He's also irrelevant, sadly. I mean, not sadly, but like his moderate views, the Republican Party hates them, those moderate views. Find your own party, stop coming for Democrats, trash.
Yeah. Yeah, and his moderate views are only moderate in the way that that word is used, which is annoying. Like he's, you know, he's anti-choice and all of that. Like there's nothing moderate about the sort of person he would have been if he was president, but.
No, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is definitely trash. His DNC video was trash, total trash. And if he gets into Biden's cabinet, even worse trash. I want him to stay irrelevant, basically.
Yeah.
For my number three, I've got an individual who actually won the TYT Jerk of the Year. So we're gonna be double dipping here. This is going to be what's left of Mitch McConnell's body, because this is the photo of him rotting before our very eyes. Mitch McConnell is a garbage person, because look, he did, you know, tons of bad stuff this year, the stuff about the Supreme Court and everything. But honestly, I would have expected him to do that. So I'm not particularly surprised by rushing through Amy Coney Barrett, all the other bad stuff he did. Now, the reason he's total trash this year is I really would have suspected that, especially with so many Senate Republicans running for re-election this year in difficult, well, in hindsight, not difficult, but it seemed like they'd be difficult races, and that he was running for re-election and the pandemic was hitting, that he would have supported more aid. Like that he would have been forced to. He wouldn't have wanted to, but he would have been forced to. Mm-hmm. But he made the calculation, and apparently it was an accurate calculation, that he could not do effectively anything and just wait and wait and wait and let more and more people die and businesses close down permanently, all of that. And he would get re-elected and the Republicans would do okay. And he was mostly right about that. And so he almost single-handedly, in rallying the Republicans to not accept any, for months and months and months, any aid packages, utter garbage that has produced so much human suffering of a variety of different types this year.
Ugh, I've never seen anyone relish so much in being evil. Like, he will watch this segment and be like, you know, like he's just like, that's how he, that's his kink. His kink.
He does
is,
like it.
He's just, you know. And have you seen how gross his mask is over his face? You know, like thank God he's wearing one, but it like you know, they need an extra for people with like the extra goblet. They need an extra, you know, little extension, like you know something
like a mask that has a double bubble. You need a double.
Yeah,
bubble
yeah.
Mask.
You need double bubble mask. You got the goblet in there. No, Mitch McConnell is absolutely. I can't. Ugh. And the fact that he won re-election.
I know.
Because of course, you know, I don't think any of us were all that surprised. But ooh, I hate them all. I hate them. There's too many. I can't believe I wasted two on Chris D'Elia and John Kasich.
Well, make up for it. What do you got now? Number three.
Okay, number three. I've got so many, but okay, I'm just gonna go with a very, very obvious one. William Barr. William Barr, who now is somehow kind of trying to wash his hands of the Trump administration, trying to peace out early, trying to pretend like he has some amount of morals or dignity or scrutiny. No, William Barr, ever since he got into his position as Attorney General, has been nothing but a corrupt stooge, a watchdog, attack dog for Trump. Initially holding back on the Mueller report, right? Which how many years ago was that now? I don't even know, maybe just a year.
It was last year.
It was last year, holding back on the Mueller report.
Years ago.
Right, having his own like, oh yeah, here, read my Cliff's notes. They're the Bill's notes, you know, it basically says no wrongdoing, yay. He's been the one to over, you know, helping to pardon Roger Stone, helping to pardon Mike Flynn. Helping to actually go after the people who even started the Russia investigation in the first place, obviously causing huge amounts of internal rifts within the federal government, within the intelligence community. Like if anyone who can make Jeff Sessions look good is clearly garbage, worse than garbage, dirty diaper, used condom level. And this year, was responsible for calling the police on protesters outside of the White House so that Trump could stage his moment, right? And so tear gassing peaceful protesters outside of the White House was just that cherry on this, trash can of a person and who has no remorse, who every time he's been interviewed, whether it's about COVID, whether it's about, but specifically when it was about BLM, just again relishes in his status of being able to be so evil and so contemptuous for anyone who would demand that they not be murdered.
He definitely gives off the aura of a person who is dead inside and doesn't like he doesn't lose sleep over any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was absolute garbage. He was a garbage can that has been splashed with soup that had
the pubes
and pubes in it.
Chunks of duty.
My number two, I realize I somehow forgot to print out, but don't worry, I've got a backup. It's what many people thought would be my number one, but is not. It is Donald Trump, the president, still unfortunately so trashy here. Chomp on my electronics. But anyway, do I need to say why Donald Trump was garbage? Like Trump was garbage during the campaign. And he was really bad in his first 3 years, worse in a lot of ways than we might have imagined, but none of that can compare to 2020. I mean, not only did he need to be impeached for the corruption, he then almost got us into war with Iran. Everybody forgets that. That was this year that he almost got us into war with Iran. Then he presided over the biggest failure of the US government ever, I think. I think that was the worst, the pandemic, the response. With how much more could have been done and how many more lives could have been saved. Instead, we've lost a World War I and counting, and we're gonna go higher. We'll probably hit civil war eventually of Americans. That was how he spent most of his year. During the biggest social movement of our lives, he called BLM a terrorist group and talked about how he's been the best for black people since Lincoln over and over. He just kept saying that. And then he's ending the year trying to end democracy.
Yep.
So that's cool. It's been a good year. Maybe we'll still have a country after this. I'm assuming we will, but he's trying right now as we film this to end it. So I understand that objectively he should be the number one, but I have one that bothers me more. But number two, Donald Trump, so much garbage, will forever be garbage. I pray that I never hate a president more than him. I thought that Bush would be the cap, but Trump has exceeded it. I don't know if anything.
Stop trying to resuscitate Bush.
No, they're both terrible, but I hate Trump more. I hate Trump. It's an open question about who's been more damaging, but the pandemic has really complicated that analysis.
Yeah, I think it's a really, I think very good choice. I agree, Trump is trash. And I also think that if there is one person, because I was thinking, I was like, I really think that anyone who naysayed, who distracted from, who supported conspiracy theories about this pandemic, anyone who did that and encouraged people to continue to gather is trash. And that goes for anyone from Ron DeSantis to like, you know, Kimberly Guilfoyle, who was at these rallies, to like anyone who was a part and parcel of the Trump cult and the rally. But really, it is Donald Trump at the helm. He is the one you can blame for all of that because he's been the ringleader and he was trash before. But oh my God, it's like a, yeah, it's just a, it is, I don't even want to say what it is, but he is his own dirty diaper
full of poop that someone has vomited on. That has been left in the sun and just gets worse with every passing day.
Being pecked at by a seagull.
And then the seagull dies and starts rotting on top of the diaper. And it poops itself as it dies.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, I think the last two for me are like, well, I don't. Okay.
It's just for posterity. So Sorry. Be very careful, choose wisely.
Okay, I'm gonna say two is the Karen. If there is a trash person of this year, it is not one, not two, it is the hundreds, nay, thousands of Karens, whether or not they are probably, you know, a white woman or a white guy, the Kevins, you know, the Mitches or whatever we're calling them. It should be Mitch. It is the entitled, precious, I want to speak to the manager, I don't owe you wearing a mask energy, the why don't you speak English and I'm gonna confront you about it energy, that has been so on display this year. And I don't know why. I think maybe white women have a harder time dealing with like anxiety of the pandemic than other people. Whereas like people of color are like used to living under constant stress because that's where, you know, decades and histories of oppression and racism have left them. So, but for some reason, Karens have really been on display and we've seen all the videos. My favorite is the one at a gas station where Karen straight got slapped by a young Latino woman. Oh, it's so good. She gets slapped because and multiple, there are two of them. One is an African-American woman who slaps a white woman and another is a Latino young woman who slaps a white woman. And I'm sorry, but like it's not, there is no such thing as reverse racism. That's not how racism works. And tell me what is going on with these Karens. So for all they represent, for the fact that many of them voted for Trump, for the fact that they've put us in danger and have no respect for essential workers and think that their right to shop without a mask and speak and not hear the sound of Spanish language, the Spanish language in their ears ever, that comes before our right to live. It's the Karen, it's that emblem.
Yeah, that's a strong one. That's a strong one. The Karens were really bad in all of the big things this year. Not just in the, they were certainly bad in the pandemic, but you know, in the, you know, just constantly like policing everything black people want to do in public. Like they were bad in a lot of different ways. But hold up, who does that leave as your number one for the year then?
I don't know. I got to calibrate. You want me to go first?
It's up to you. I can go, and then you can be the last word. I'm okay with that. Okay, let's do that. Well, actually, it makes sense because my number one has quite a bit of overlap with what you're saying. Mine is the anti-maskers. This woman with the "my body, my choice." I don't know who this person is, but I am not a fan of this person and all of them, because most of these other garbage people, they were always gonna be bad in this way. But I really would have thought that as so many people were getting sick and dying, that we would protect, if not each other, protect ourselves, that we'd take it seriously. But tens of millions of Americans not only wouldn't do that, like when the nation called, they said no, but they took it up as their political identity. That's why you see those signs. They want you to know that at their core, they're not going to help. At the end of the day, when things are at their worst, they are not going to help. And in fact, they're going to make the problem worse. I lost so much more respect for regular Americans, regular people, what we're capable of, because now I am more afraid of every challenge that faces us. Because no matter what it is, if aliens invade, when climate change gets worse and worse, I don't have much faith that we will actually stand together against it. And that is very terrifying. And that's what the anti-mask movement gave me this year.
Absolutely. That's a good one. Okay, my number one is going to be, wait, I had it and it disappeared from my brain. Oh my gosh.
Number one is Francesca.
This is
garbage person.
Just me throwing myself into the ring. Talk amongst yourself, because I got distracted with something.
Okay, I will mention some honorable mentions while you're looking.
Honorable mentions, yes.
I mean, I definitely had, like, William Barr was definitely there. That was a possibility. Rudy Giuliani, except.
Ooh. But he was fun.
What keeps him off the list is he's too fun. Like, it's too comical. Jenna Ellis and Sidney Powell are the same. Someone in the pre-show was saying Lynn Wood, but Lynn Wood is too new and he's gonna go away.
Love Lynn Wood. Charlie Kirk
or a Ben Shapiro. But they're just, these are the people that did the most damage, I think.
Totally.
But anyway.
No, I think that I was distracted because I was looking at, I was listening to you slash also looking at Scott Atlas, who, you know, floated herd immunity, who I absolutely think deserves to be a trash person. Did so much damage to our response to this pandemic. And has since resigned, of course. Is gonna go back to Stanford University's Hoover Institute. Because, you know, people fall, I mean, F the Hoover Institute, but also these people are just, you know, they fall upwards and they fall on their feet, or they just go back to their jobs. But number one, taking it from the corporate sector, Mr. Jeff Bezos, everybody, who became this year a trillionaire. He became a trillionaire this year, and he is utter trash. Amazon is trash. Look, I understand that you forgot a gift for that one relative, and so you had to go to Amazon Prime, and it was the only way it could get there on time. Maybe I'm just talking about myself, but at the same time, I've been really trying not to shop on Amazon. F Amazon. This year, he raised the minimum wage to $15 an hour after being harangued by Bernie Sanders and others. Thank God. But my man, it is no sweat off him, off his back, to give $15 an hour. This year, we found out that he's been hiring private detectives to spy on his own workers in their in the warehouses. These are people who are unable to take bathroom breaks when they want to, have the pressure, the stress that it takes to work in an Amazon factory or warehouse. It basically is a factory. Amazon is a place that this year hid COVID cases when there were outbreaks, refused to shut down warehouses when there were outbreaks. And this entire time, this pandemic has made this man a trillionaire. And guess what? He still doesn't pay taxes. He's still, like, the company's still based out of Arizona, at last I checked. So anyway, Jeff Bezos, utter trash. However many condoms, fallen off of however many. It's like the condom that that Lindsey Graham used when when he was hiring a male escort. No, yeah.
Hey. But, anyway.
Jeff Bezos is trash.
Yeah, no, I'm like so glad that that was a surprise pick. I hadn't thought about him. I should have. No, you're totally right. He has more wealth than everybody combined. Like he, and I get it. Like a lot of people use Amazon, but man, to be in his mind for just a few minutes, he could do anything if he wanted to, but he doesn't. And so we get to judge him for all that he doesn't do. He's going to space. Yeah, good. Stay there. The rich. I mean, look, I would use him almost as emblematic of the fact so many have become so wealthy during all of this. It's amazing that the worse things get, the better off the wealthy get. I love how that's the way that the system is set up. But yeah, you're 100% right. That's a great pick. Definitely remember him.
This is hard.
Anti-maskers and Jeff Bezos. God only knows who will be on the list next year for some crisis we don't even know about yet. Anyway, Francesca, great to have you here. Thank you for joining me. And for all of you who are tier two and tier three members, hope that you enjoyed this first top 10. In the near future, we'll be asking you for suggestions on lists that you'd like to see. But for now, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.